you guys. Y'all been sitting for a while, so let's all stand up just for a moment. Just want to make sure you are limber and able to receive today. Hold your hands before the Lord. Repeat with me. Father, we open our hearts, our minds to your word. Speak, Lord, your servants here. Change us, transform us by the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Ann Richardson is recovering from her surgery. We bless her if she's watching today. She's doing good. And it's good to see Juan today. He had eye surgery and he's driving already. The Lord does some good things, doesn't he? Yeah, you guys look good back there in the line. Must be a lot of people punching in a lot of zeros today. That's good. Amen. Wow. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Have you heard the word? It says it's good to go up to the house of the Lord. His presence is with us. And you guys, the young people, I was thrilled to hear your testimonies and just so encouraged by what God's doing in the midst of us. Open up in your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 66. This morning is kind of a potluck message. So if you don't like part of the message, hold on, you'll get another serving. And maybe it'll be more compatible to your palate. No, I'm just kidding a little bit. You couldn't really catch me in any better mood than I am today. I mean, you're lucky, right? How many know it's always good that the guy bringing the word is in a good mood? And that way you don't have to be overly concerned about what he's going to say. And you can just be happy today because this is a happy day. Everybody say, it's my happy day. It's the day that the Lord has made. I'm rejoicing and I am therefore glad in it. Wow. In the book of Isaiah chapter 66. And we're just going to launch into this morning and see where it takes us. But it says, the Lord says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. Amen. So we ask the question, I do often in my life, what God are you looking for out of me? How can I be pleasing in what I do for you? How many feel the same? That it's always good for us to say, Lord, what do you require of your people that we may become what you want us to be? Well, when you look in the book of Isaiah, he's saying, I'm looking for those that are contrite in their spirit, those that are poor in their spirit. Now, we don't want to misinterpret that and think that he's talking about the poverty that so many people adhere to. We're not looking at poverty. We're looking at the attitude of the heart. One of the things that we talk about so much here is how important it is, the positioning that we have before the Lord in our heart. How you position your heart sets the stage for everything that you become. You can rise no higher nor go no further than the attitude of your heart. You know, David said it so well, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The Lord wants to establish his throne in the hearts of his people. He wants to place within you his throne, his lordship, so that out of you comes forth his will upon the earth. That's good stuff, isn't it? So the Lord is looking in your heart to see, is your heart in a place of humility? Wouldn't it be nice that if in the church in this hour we had a rebirthing of the spirit of humility? After all, there's only really one kingdom. There's not many kingdoms. It's not possible for me to build my kingdom alongside the kingdom of God and expect it to survive. Everybody say, only one kingdom will survive. That's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's creating in us. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 46, we see the heart of Mary. And of course, we know Mary was the mother of Jesus. And it took a special person to be the one that carried the seed of the Lord to bring forth the manifestation of the Son of God upon the earth. I don't think by any means it was just a random choice. But God chose the one that had the right heart, and he chose Mary. You know, Mary is famous for saying, "Be it done unto me, Lord, according to thy word." By saying that, she set the stage for what God could do in her life. It's so easy for us to try to predetermine what we want God to do for us. It becomes more difficult when we say, "Lord, not what I want, but Lord, what you want in my life." And so Mary, in chapter 1, verse 46, for some reason I'm in chapter 23. It's not good, right? That's the part about Judas betraying Jesus. We'll skip that one for today. That's next week. Okay. Luke chapter 1 and verse, what did I say? 40 what? 46. Man, you guys know how to listen, don't you? Verse 46. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he's regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. He remembered of his mercy, and he spoke of our fathers to Abraham and his seed forever." So the Lord chose this humble maidservant to birth the advent, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, to introduce the kingdom of God to the world. This one that was lowly and humble and of no reputation. See, back the reputation she had, she lost. Because you often find in doing the will of God, not only do you position yourself for the will of God, but in doing the will of God, it may cost you something of yourself. But what you receive from that far outmeasures the cost that you paid to receive it. Isn't that the way God's economy works? No matter how much we give to the Lord, he always outgives us. No matter how much we lay down before him, he always has something better in store for us than what we could have imagined or what we could become. No matter how great your plans and your schemes and your desires in life may be, they can never exceed the scheme and the desire and the plan that God has for you if you keep laying your heart before him. Great is the Lord in the midst of us. Amen? You know, in Matthew it says that we come to the Lord when we labor and we're heavy laden. And in the midst of that coming to God, he gives us rest. How many want the rest of the Lord? The rest of God, the peace that God gives, passeth all understanding. No matter what your burden is, no matter how much the laborious yoke of oppression you've been under, when you bring it to Jesus, he will take it from you. He said, "Take my yoke," the yoke that he carried, the burden that he had, take that upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle. So how does God describing himself now? He's gentle. He's gentle. He's lowly of heart. And when you come to the one that's gentle and the one that's lowly of heart, and you cast your cares upon him, he will give you rest for your souls. Amen. Lord, take my burdens this morning. Everybody lift your hands. Say, Lord, take my burdens, the trials that I'm walking through, and I give them to you. For you are the meek one, the lowly one, and you carry my trials for me. Amen. Casting all your cares upon the Lord. So you're putting all this on this one who walked in the greatest humility that's ever been seen in the history of humanity. There's no one greater than God himself in the demonstration of service and humility. It's amazing that we in the church, if we really followed the Lord, we would see that, and I believe that you are, but I believe that we're only at the beginning of this expression. That's exciting to me. Think about it. If you were a first grader, you know, and you're if you could get the realization and you're in the first or second grade, hey, this is only the beginning of understanding. This is only the beginning of knowledge. This is only the start of my journey. You'd probably have a little different attitude than most first graders, right? It's like, Mom, am I going to have to go to school again today? Why do I have to go and labor at the school? But understanding this, that something greater is coming for their future. And that's what I would say to you this morning. This may be to you like entering into the threshold of something that God has prepared for you that I have not seen nor ear heard. I believe that that's for me. I believe that we are standing on the precipice of the most incredible, anointed, blessed time that the church has ever experienced in the history of the church. Because we, the church, I believe, are finally coming to the understanding of who he is. That to be like him means that we become like him in every facet. The Bible said in the book of Philippians chapter 2 that we're to take this mind into our mind that's the mind of Christ. That he humbled himself. That he became obedient even to the point of death. Death on the cross. He regarded it robbery to be counted equal with the angels. He came low as you could get. He came to the lowest place that you could possibly get to. The complete obedience to the point of death. But out of that, God has given him a victory that's above all victories. A name that's above all names. At the name of Jesus Christ, we should bow and declare him Lord. And the Lord said that you that exalt yourself, you will be brought down. But you that humble yourself, he said, I too will exalt you. And I will bring you forth in my glory. How many want to participate in the exaltation of the Lord? To participate in that time when God raises us up to be glorified together with him. It's an incredible thing. The pathway of the Lord. For it says in Luke chapter 14 that everyone that exalts himself will be humbled. And those that humble themselves will be exalted. One of the great joys of my life is pastoring a church of humble people. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm saying it with sincerity. Because when I look at you, I look at a fertile ground of people that are ready to manifest the fullness of God's presence upon the earth. I look at you with a spiritual pride, knowing that the heart that God has put in you has positioned you to be that one that's Mary, that brings forth the Lordship of Christ to the earth. I commend you on your humility, but I also exhort you, dig deeper, go further to that next level of what you're to be, because there's something more for all of us. For just when I find that I feel like I've emptied myself, I've let myself be cleansed. I've been like David, the Lord created me the clean heart. renew the steadfast spirit within me. The Lord reminds me, no, don't take all your accolades now. There's still a little bit further to go with you. And so I rejoice in that this morning. I rejoice, like David even said, I'm rejoicing in the bones that you've broken. I'm rejoicing in the chastisement that I felt upon my life, because I know that it's all serving the purpose of making me more receptive to what you want to create in me. Wow. Rise, says in the book of Isaiah, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That out of what God produces in you, all the nations shall see it. See, we're not here just to create just a church on the corner. And that's great if that's what we are. But we have a faith in our heart to create a nation. We have faith in our heart to create a people that go beyond the borders of this wall that we live in today. I see that many of you, that God is going to raise up in this hour to influence nations. These young people that were up here today, you can see it in their hearts that they'll keep on pursuing the Lord. If they keep on making themselves a Mary, if they keep on humbling their heart before the Lord, if they keep on crying out to their God, God will raise many of them up to shake nations, transform societies. See, one day the church, we know, has to emerge into this glorification that God has intended for it to be. One day the church has to come out of the manger and has to ascend the throne room of God, seated at the right hand of the Father. One day we come out of this beggarly element place of begging God to intercede on our behalf, but one day we become the intercessors of the Lord, declaring unto the world the vision of the Lord and declaring the purpose of God to the nations. That this is the kingdom of God manifesting in the midst of us. Wow. Jesus, you know, he grew up. It was so neat to watch this in the Bible that he started out and he got all of a sudden into this awareness of who he was. Don't you know that was exciting? He was born the sinless Son of God. Wow. And then all of a sudden, one day he's thinking, huh, who am I? And it said that he began to grow from that point. He began to increase in wisdom. He began to get strong in stature. And he began to realize the favor that he had with his Father and the favor that he had with man. You see, that's where we're at. We're in the process of growing into the awareness of who we are. That realizing that within us dwells no good thing, that in our lowly, humble state, the bankrupt state of humanity, nothing good dwells. But understanding that because of the seed of righteousness that's been planted in our heart through the blood of Jesus Christ, there's something growing in us that's greater than us. There's something being revealed into our hearts and our minds that supersedes anything that we've known in our humanity. It's called the divinity of Christ being revealed to us. That we too are becoming the sons of the living God. We too are becoming aware of the presence of that Son, the Son, the only begotten Son being birthed within us. He began to grow in spirit. In favor. He grew and became strong in his Father's heart. He became spirit-filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Many of you are moving into that place that people are starting to say about you. The grace of God is on you. I see the wisdom of God being spoken through you. I hear the heart of compassion coming through you. I see this power of the Lord being manifested as you speak. Many of you are starting to hear those reports. Be encouraged, because you're growing in wisdom and stature and in favor. You're becoming those things that we only maybe dreamed about when we were in the first grade. You're graduating into this next level. When this says, the Lord says, I hear you speaking and say, yay, Lord, I hear you speaking. You've got this divine connection to the living God. Can imagine that. That you have been called and chosen by God to have this connection with Him. That's so incredible. Wow. What kind of favor is that? And just the way Jesus overcame Satan. Remember how he was caught up to the wilderness? And it was called the temptation of Christ. We would have thought, well, he's got it made. No, he still didn't have it made yet. He still needed to overcome. And the Lord is saying to you, I'm making you an overcomer. Greater. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You won't have to subject yourself to the voice of the tempter as long as you realize who you are. That you can resist the enemy and he will flee from you. You can resist the things that are trying to destroy you and they will have to be gone in Jesus' name. But see, we have a priest. We have a God that came through a human vessel named Jesus, who sympathized with every one of your weaknesses. And he resisted sin and temptation on every aspect. And he said that God has not given you any temptation that you're not able to resist yourself. See, when you think of yourself the way the devil thinks of you, it's easy to give in. But when you begin to think of yourself the way God thinks of you, then you realize that's not who you are. You're greater than that. You're stronger than that. You're mightier than that. You're holier than that. You're more righteous than that. You don't have to live in the beggarly elements of the world any longer because you humbled your heart. God has exalted you high above those things now. You have become the master, the ruler of the things that once dominated you. Hallelujah. Begin to live like and proclaim like and declare like who you really are. So that you can declare it over others. Wow. Woo. But this high priest came and became likened to us in all things, that he might identify with us in all points, tempted as we are in all things, but yet he himself was without sin. He overcame by the same means that are available to you and I today. It says in the book of Revelation, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of our testimony. Start declaring over yourself who you are. Don't elevate yourself or try to make yourself special, but declare yourself special in Him. It's all Him. 100% Him. Everybody say it's all God. It's all Jesus. None of it's me. And, you know, I'm Sue and I, we're so appreciative of how you people, our people, God's people, have honored us over the years. It's very humbling to receive accolades and honoring. Now you've blessed us time and time again with honor, with love. But we'll be the first to tell you how much we appreciate it. But we'd also tell you that it's not us that you're honoring. You're honoring Jesus. Because it's not anything that I've done or ever will do that's worthy of honor. But it's what Christ is in us that we honor and we cherish. And as much as I love you and who you are, I love even more the Christ that's being revealed in you. The precious Son of God who shines through you. As Paul cried out, Lord, I may know you. I look at you and I cry out, I want to know you. Because in knowing you, I know him. because he's really right here in the midst of us. Where is Christ? What does it say when we gather, two or three gather in his name, where will he be? Tell me, where will he be? In the midst of us. Where is he right now? In the midst of us. Someone say, well, I want Jesus. Well, we got him right here. He's in the midst of us. Reach out and hug him. Lord, you're in the midst of us. You're right here. You're the tangible presence of God is here right now. How far off is he? Not far. Remember the old deal we used to do? How long will it take us to get there? Not long. He's not far, and it won't take long to get there. He's nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. So I confess that Jesus is here right now. I confess he's in you. Jerry, Christ is in you. Vicki, Christ is in you. That's my hope of glory. That's where he dwells. That's where he resides. And you see, when I humble myself before God and before men, that I'll see him. I'll never see him as long as I lift myself up in that place. But when I humble myself, I see Christ. I'll see him in you. I'll see him in everything around me. When I humble myself, I'll go out in the world and I'll see someone that's not been saved by grace, someone that hasn't turned to the Lord, but I'll begin to see the cry of God for their heart and how much God desires that they know him. So I won't look upon them with disdain, or I won't turn them away because their sexual orientation is different than mine, or because they have some weird belief, or because they're some agnostic, or they're a Democrat. I'm not going to turn them away. You see what I'm saying? Because if I'm truly the man that carries Christ, none of those things is an obstacle. None of those things is a hindrance to my ability to minister to them. It's only the religiosity of us, the nature that we have, that we condemn others and shut the door for the kingdom of God upon their lives. See, the Lord said he went there and said, invited them to come to his house. And he went to the people that had all these things and they all declined. He said, no, I want my house to be full. Go into the highways and the byways and find those destitute ones, those that are needy, those that have a heart that needs something. Because the rich will never inherit the kingdom of God. It's only the lowly. It's only the humble that inherit his kingdom. Dale Gentry prophesied years ago that we'd be a church full of weirdos. I have to say, prophecies do come true. We're keeping Austin weird, right? It's never in the high or the mighty. It's in the base things of the world that God confounds the wise. It'll never be in the penthouse. It'll never be in the grand structures that we build in his name that we'll find him. But it'll be in the heart of the Mary, the little servant girl. It'll never be birthed where the cameras will see it, and men will acclaim it, and the world will rejoice in it. It'll be birthed in a place that might not smell so good, look so good, or be so good. A manger. Well, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back as this mighty king, this mighty Lord, and he's going to make us all wealthy people. Give me a break. When Jesus comes back, he's going to come back the same way he came the first time. But the manifestation of who he is going to be different. Amen. But he's got to be revealed the same way. He can't reveal himself differently. Why would he have chosen Mary, this little servant girl, this little humble 16-year-old, they say, girl, to reveal the greatest thing that's ever been revealed in the history of humanity? Why would he have chosen that? And then all of a sudden, in these last days, he's going to choose all of us high and mighties to bring forth his glory. No, the glory is going to come through the lowly, the poor in spirit, the meek, the humble, those that seek no kingdom of their own, but they only cry out for his kingdom. Those that seek no honor of their own, but they only seek the honor of the Lord. Those that seek no praise for themselves, but only the voice that comes from heaven that said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." You know, no matter how much you give me accolades or I give you, the greatest accolade comes when you hear the voice of the Lord. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been obedient." Get ready. World, get ready. It's going to make a splash. Church, get ready. That's why every great movement that man has ever produced in the history of Christianity have all died. Because movements never live. Movements give way to the greater thing. Because movements become that which challenges his kingdom. Because it's building what we think his kingdom should look like. But he said, "I'm not going to build a kingdom made with the hands of men. But my kingdom is going to be made by my spirit. My kingdom is going to be a kingdom that where I go to the mountain and I cut out the stones that fit into it without hands and shape and form a place that I may dwell." We're not opposed to any movement or any group. We love the church. We love all the church. We love every church that's out there. We bless them. We love them. And we pray all of them, including us, will come to the realization that it's only through him that we become what God wants us to be. The church's finest hour is just ahead of us. Get ready. The church's manifestation of his presence is just ahead of us. Get ready. It's coming. So that one day we begin to take authority over all futility and over all this which oppressed humanity becomes subjected to him. On the human level, he moved into authority by humbling himself, and he became completely submissive to the Father. And we're seeing that renewed spirit today where God is joining us to the Father like never before. As I said a couple of last week, today is the day we cry out, "Abba, Father, our dearest Father, we're one with you." God will loose you from all your limitations by the submissiveness of your heart. See, we can move just like he did when he rebuked the wind. Remember when he rebuked the wind? What happened when he rebuked the wind? The wind stopped. What happened when he cast out the devils? The devils left. What happened when he cried out to Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. What happened when he jumped out of the boat in the middle of a storm? He walked on the water. What happened when he had a multitude that had no food? He multiplied the fishes and the bread. But it all happened not because the power that he had was unlimited. It happened because of the submission that he had to his Father. I'm so proud of the young people last week. They let God begin to be revealed through them. That others said, "This is Jesus." And all the young people, they come back and, you know, we all flex our muscles a little bit, but these guys aren't doing that. You can see it in their heart. They know who did what. It wasn't them. It wasn't because they were so spiritual that they made the nuns bow down. It was because they knew there was one greater named Jesus working through them. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are not on an ego trip. Blessed are the submissive ones. Blessed are those who are willing to lose their own identity. Blessed are those who are willing to lose their own lives for his sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you, Austin Cathedral, the meek ones of the earth. the lowly ones, the humble ones. Blessed are you, the ones that have dug deep wells, down as deep as you can go, to put your face down below, never looking up to see what's yours. But blessed are you, for this is your hour of visitation. For the Lord will come suddenly into this place of your heart and will lift you up to the authority that he manifests through you. Blessed are you today. Hallelujah. Wow. Everybody say, I want the Lord manifesting through me. When you go out this week, go out and say, Lord, put my holy radar on. Let me see those that are burdened, carrying yokes, all that stuff. Then lower yourself, humble yourself, and let all that transfer to him. Say, I'm going to transfer all their problems right to the Lord. I'm going to become that light on the hill, that salt to the earth. Amen. I know this isn't quite as rousing a conclusion as last week, but I like it. Amen. How many like it? Well, it makes me feel a lot better that you do, believe me. Thank the Lord. He is so good, isn't he? Thank you, Lord. We are those people that God has called. What we're going to do in a moment, we're going to stand up. I want the young people that want to come pray this morning to come stand up here. And then if you have a physical need this morning, or maybe a spiritual, you just want to say, Lord, I want a double dose of the Holy Ghost. Just come up and let these guys just bless you and lay hands on you this morning. Man, Lauren, I'm going to come down and get Lauren to lay hands on me. Wow. Thank the Lord. And we're going to have a couple of confirmations this morning. Then once we do that, we're going to stand and we're going to worship. So just come up. Let's just speak over this word this morning in Jesus' name. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
God, here we are. Here we are, your people, God. We lay out our hearts before you, God. We humble ourselves that we would have contrite hearts, God, poor in spirit, that you would lift us up, Lord. We are the ones that tremble at your word, God. Let us be the ones, Lord, here be the house built for you, God, the place of your rest. Here we are. Here we are.
Lord, you said, let them build a temple for me so that I can dwell in them. We are those people building a temple for you, giving you the honor and the glory so that your word will live in us. You dwell in us, and as we go out, that we glorify you out there, that people see you through us, that they experience your love through these people here today.
Lord, we seek you in humility, knowing that nothing that we give up can compare to anything that you have for us, that what you have is so much greater than what we could create. Your kingdom is better than anything, any kingdom we could create.
Yes, Lord, we just seal this word of humility over our hearts. God, we ask that you would just plant a seed very deep in us to desire to be humble, to desire to go to the lowly places, Lord, that you would exalt us up in due time according to your will, Lord, build your kingdom through us.
Lord, we just seek you and we ask that you would soften our hearts, Lord. Give us the heart to see those that are hurting, those that are mourning. Lord, we ask that you would just touch us so that our eyes would see the world as you see the world, and then our hands could touch the world as you touch the world. Lord, we just lift you up. We know that we have nothing within ourselves that can help anyone, but that when we humble ourselves toward you and we open our hearts and our minds to you, Lord, we know that you can change the world. And Lord, flow through us this week. Let our hands be your hands and our heart be your heart. In Jesus' name.
Confirm that we are. the sons of God. In Jesus' name.
Our hearts speak. We call you desire. You are the only desire of our hearts. We bring nothing to this except this desire for Him. In Jesus' name.
This is for everybody, but I want to really address you young people. Pastor Bill was speaking of happiness a little earlier. And you know, the scripture talks a lot about joy, and we say, yes, even in hard circumstances, we have an inward joy. But I see happy youth here, happy people here, and it is because of a happening. The Spirit of God moving on you is a happening that's bringing this happiness, and happiness will draw people to you. Happiness will make you desirable and appealing to people. There's so much hurt and anger and mistrust in the world, and they'll see a different generation here that's happy. And the psalmist said, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And that's what we're talking about, this whole thing of what God is doing among us. It's the Lordship of Christ. And without the Lordship of Christ in our life, there's no abiding happiness. But with abiding Lordship, you walking in His Lordship, there'll be a happiness that will draw others to you, and it's an avenue of drawing people to Him. So I encourage you in that. You're happy. And let people be drawn to that happiness because it's of the Lord.
Amen. Thank the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Let's all stand up together. Wow. I believe the Lord's speaking to us today, don't you? And I just release something brand new in our spirits. This is a summer that I really think is significant for every one of us, for the life of this house, the life of this city, the life of our nation. I believe that it's just an incredible year of transformation that God has. And we just applaud and rejoice in all of you guys over here. Let the anointing of the Lord just rest on them. Just you guys hold your hands out. All the young people, hold your hands out. Just open your heart to receive this morning. Just receive that glory, that anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's just worship the Lord. And if you feel led of the Lord, come and pray this morning with these guys. Let them pray for you. I think you're going to receive a lot. Amen.